And you're listening to Ecologic on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM. And my guests today are Ruth Kaplan and Sandra Steingraber, talking about bottled water and the plastic it comes in.
Well, I think that moving from the specifics of the plastic and the toxicity, it's important to look at whether we see water as just another commodity or whether we see it as a right to life, and both for people and for nature. We in the Alliance and in the Sierra Club really see it as a part of the commons, and that this is a part of the web of life, and that in the Alliance we certainly say that the right to water actually should have standing in court, and that we want to see the rights of nature actually become a part of state and the U.S. Constitution. And
so the right to water is not guaranteed then?
It's not guaranteed at all, and I think that that's the kind of direction we should be going in. We have done some organizing in New Hampshire, and there's a small town called Barnstead up in New Hampshire where they've actually passed an ordinance which says that corporations can't come and take their water, period, and it's a right for people in nature, and this was passed in their town meeting with only one dissenting vote. I think that this is a beacon for, you know, a direction that we can begin to take to say, yes, we will protect water in our community.
And are these contracts written in such a way that if a community that whose municipal water is going into bottled water, if there's a drought, who gets the water, the contract or the people who live there?
It would vary from state to state exactly how they've done their groundwater. But I'll tell you, in many states, there's very little regulation of groundwater. So, for instance, in Texas, there's what's called the right to capture. And as long as you have land over a water source, you can take as much as you want out of the aquifer, and it doesn't matter what happens to your neighbors or to the local ecology. We're finding up in Maine, where Nestle is has a lot of sources for their Poland Spring water, that one in Freiburg, Maine, there is a pond, actually a beautiful lake. It had always been crystal clear, and now that water is being sold from one of the springs to Nestle and trucked away, that water is no longer crystal clear. The water has warmed because it's not getting the cold spring water anymore, and there's eutrophication of this beautiful lake that had once been crystal clear.
And that must be going on all over the country, because bottled water sales have been skyrocketing, haven't they?
Yes, that's right. And for instance, in Maine, Nestle is very busy prospecting for new sites. We believe that communities should have a right to say no, they do not want their water taken. We find that in some states, like in New Hampshire, where there is what looked like a good state law on groundwater protection, that it's not working at all for communities. For instance, a sort of upstart company called USA Springs has wanted to take water out of Nottingham and Barrington for bottled water, and a local organization called Save Our Groundwater had gone through all of the regulatory hoops and loops using the law that was supposed to protect them. And then when that didn't protect them, went to court, and in the end, the state sided with the corporation, and the nonprofit organization, Save Our Groundwater, and the communities of Nottingham and Barrington lost on every single contention they had brought. So we're very disturbed by the lack of adequate state legislation and think that communities really need to stand up and say, we're just not going to take it anymore.
While New York City water tastes very good, it comes from the Catskills, a lot of municipal water in, say, New Jersey is not so good. Now, what are people there who are sure that their water isn't good because it doesn't taste good? You can tell. What do they do?
I think it's very important to organize and hold their local municipality accountable, and be willing to pay some additional taxes if that's what it takes for the additional treatment that's needed. Sandra can say a lot more than about the chlorine in water, but that's certainly one thing that people object to sometimes in the taste. I know one thing you can do is you can have a filter either on your tap or filter on all the water coming into your house. I think Sandra made a very important point about the other ways in which we get exposed to the toxins in water, not just by drinking it directly. You can put a filter on where the water comes into your house. So that's another possibility, is to filter your own water. I'm in Washington, D.C. We've had a problem with lead because we have very old pipes. It's fine coming out of the reservoir, but once it gets to my house, it has lead. Mm. I've used a filter, and it gets the lead out. So I think that it's important for people to organize and to say we want our municipality to adequately treat the water and make sure that it's good quality drinking water. The other thing is that there has been blind tests, including, I don't know if any of the viewers have seen, or listeners have seen the documentary Thirst, about some of the global issues around the right to water, but they now have a trailer on their DVD. It was on PBS, On Point of View, and it's out, of course, as a DVD by Bullfrog Films, and they now have a trailer on that DVD that shows taste testing right in New York City and people trying to tell which is bottled water and which is municipal water. And
in the case of Dasani, it is New York City water.
Right, that's right, but not for the spring water. That kind of testing has been done in many places around the country. Corporate Accountability International has been doing it in cities around the country. And most of the time, people can't tell which is the municipal water and which is the bottled water.
Well, I guess I'd like to just chime in that as a bladder cancer survivor myself, as somebody whose cancer may well have come from an exposure in drinking water, although as a sample size of one, I'll never know that for sure. I certainly drink tap water, and I feel it's an important spiritual and ethical lesson to my children to drink water from the tap and have them not see it as Ruth has said, as a kind of private commodity that you purchase. And with every drink, you know, I'm reminded that if I'm somehow bothered or I feel unsure about groundwater from nearby Lake Cayuga, from which my village draws its water, then I have a responsibility as a citizen, together with all the other villagers, to come together and talk about the quality of our water or how best to protect it from polluters. It's going to go into my body whether I drink it or not. I'm going to inhale it. It's going to go through my skin. It's in my house. It's in my indoor air. It's part of me. I'm 90% water, mm-hmm. and the molecules of water that enter my body become my blood and my urine and expose my tissues to whatever's in that water. There's no opting out of that. And with every glass of tap water, I'm reminded of that. And that's an important gesture for me.
Are there any websites that listeners can go to get more information? So we've got 10 minutes left.
Well, I think one of the great to go to places is Environmental Working Group's website. They're one of the real watchdogs of the nation's drinking water, and they've also written about bottled water too. And those who are concerned about contaminants in tap water, there are a lot of resources that citizens can tap into about, you know, testing that's already been done and how to find out more. And that's at Environmental Working Group's website is ewg.org. And then I'd like to point out that the way you learn about contaminants in your drinking water that come from your utilities is a hard-earned information. It's part of a larger body of information about toxic chemicals that are guaranteed to us now through various right-to-know laws. And as of a few years ago, water utilities were compelled to reveal chemical contaminants to its all the users of the water supply through quarterly reports that come to you in your utility bill. So this is a great starting point now. I mean, this was not available to me when I was working on my book, Living Downstream. And so it was much harder for me to find out this information even, you know, 12, 15 years ago than it is now. And so getting, they don't make a big marketing campaign over the release of these information that's in your water bill. So you have to kind of, you know, read the fine print. But all the information is there. And if there's something that bothers you, when you take a look at all the chemicals and, you know, they've been found above and below their detection limits and at what parts per billion, that's a really good place to begin community organizing, to sit down with your water bill, get some help from EWG on how to interpret these figures and numbers and chemicals, and let that be a beginning point for a great public conversation.
There's also two other websites I'd like to mention. One is the AllianceForDemocracy.org. You have to put in the, otherwise you get to a political party in Nigeria. TheAllianceForDemocracy.org. We have a lot of information up there on organizing. The other website is SierraClub.org. There, if you go to /CAC for Corporate Accountability Committee /water, we have a lot of resources up there, including PowerPoint presentations that can be used in meetings that you have in your community. I've just finished a new presentation with Janet Eaton up in Nova Scotia, which is on the NAFTA supercorridors, which are huge highways for trucking and cars, but also utility corridors, and the whole idea of beginning to transport bulk water from Canada down to the United States is now being talked about by many corporate types. There's a lot of documentation in this, and if you go to either one of those websites, you can get to that PowerPoint presentation. If we begin to sell bulk water across an international boundary, like from the United States to Canada or vice versa, then the trade agreements kick in, and they're written in a way that it becomes extremely difficult for local, state, or federal authorities to limit the amount of water that gets taken across the border. So, for instance, once a corporation would start to truck water or pipe water across the border, if it begins to really hurt the local ecology where they're piping it from, it's very, very difficult to stop that transport of water.
And the two websites that Ruth Kaplan just mentioned are linked from the Ecologic webpage, and they will stay linked well after the show is over, like, you know, for years after, as long as the website holds. So you can go to either from there.